To take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. And I told the Sunday school class in that 9:45 hour, I really wrestled, you know, on what, you know, I started to wait and bring the truth that I gave to our Sunday school class. I started to preach it in the 11 o'clock service because I felt so strongly about it. And man, and what I really enjoyed Sunday school this morning. I got to tell you something. But then I felt so strongly about the Bible study that I wanted to bring in the 11 o'clock hour. So we're just going to try to do our best to follow the will of the Lord today. And now, I'm going to be honest with you. That title, boy, that's right in your face. I mean, it's, but you know, that's what I'm preaching on.
Right.
And I really tried. I tried to come up with some different words that I could use. And it just seemed like no words would work. And I thought, well, I'm just going to use that. And now, this is sort of a very, what's the word? Okay, I'll just say it like this, just in case you're brand new here today. I'll promise you something. If you hang around here 52 Sundays a year, you'll find out this is one of the most encouraging places that you'll ever go to. I promise you that. And as the pastor, I'll do my best to preach encouraging messages and helpful messages. And a lot of times, you may not feel like coming, but by the time you leave, you'll be glad you came. But you know, not everything in life is rosy. And not everything in life is all positive and self-help. There are some things that are reality.
Yes, sir.
And so that's what I'm going to preach today. I want to preach to your reality. And so Hebrews chapter 10 in your Bibles. And when you find your place, if you'll stand with us this morning out of respect for the reading of God's Word, if you're able, we're going to start in verse number 19. And many weeks ago, Miss Jenny Menzel came to me, and I can't remember if this was during question and answer. No, it was after a service. That's what it was, after a service. And she asked me about a certain verse in Hebrews chapter 10. And I said, Jenny, let me study that out a little bit and not just give you a quick answer, but try to give you a good answer. So a number of weeks ago, we took a whole Sunday school hour, and we taught on Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 26. But I haven't been able to get away from that since. And the Lord continued to speak to my heart from Hebrews chapter 10. And God gave me a message, and I want to share that message with you today. So Hebrews 10, verse 19, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And several weeks ago, we focused on verse number 26. The Bible says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." And we'll finish on verse number 31. And the Bible says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And so we studied that out a number of weeks ago, but God gave me something. I have not been able to get it out of my mind. I've not been able to get away from it. And I want to share it with you. And I hope it'll help you. You can be seated, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll jump right into the Bible study today. Father, we love you. And we thank you so much for the privilege of being back at Calvary today. And Lord, what a wonderful service. Thank you for the great 9:45 time. And God, how our hearts were encouraged. And Lord, I really feel like you did something sort of special during that time. And then Lord, we thank you for all of these that have assembled into this 11 o'clock hour. And God, we pray now that you'll come in mighty power. And I pray that you would prepare our hearts for what you have for us from your word today. And Lord, I pray our minds will be open. This genuinely will be a Bible study. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit today, maybe more than we normally would on a Sunday morning. But God, I pray that this will make sense. I pray that it will honor you. I pray it will glorify your Son. And Lord, especially if there may be any here today, and Lord, in a crowd this size, Lord, it would not be uncommon to have people here who don't know Christ as Savior. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to my heart. I pray that you'd speak to every heart. And God, I pray that you would speak to those that are lost here today. And Lord, just help everything to be according to your plan, according to your will. We pray that your Son will receive glory and praise and honor from it all. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So several weeks ago, as I've already mentioned, Miss Jenny asked me about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And she said, preacher, I've always been taught that that the meaning behind that verse is that you can lose your salvation. That if you backslide, if you get out in sin, that you can lose your salvation. And so we took a little time in the 9:45 hour weeks ago, and we taught on that just a little bit. And we learned several things. If you were a part of that class, then you sort of remember that. Number one, we learned that it's possible for the believer to possess full assurance. Look back at your Bibles again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hey, church, did you know that your Bible will never ask you to do something that's impossible for you to do? And so the Bible says there that we can have full assurance of faith. So for all those people who say nobody can know, well, I beg to differ. The Bible says you can know. In fact, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And so I'm glad that you can know. I'm glad I do know. And so if you were to come to me today and say, preacher, do you know you're going to heaven? I'm thankful I can come to you and I can tell you, I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. There's not one doubt, not one doubt at all. And the great thing about that is I can come to this crowd today and I can say to you, you too can know for sure. You can know. You don't have to go through life wondering. You don't have to go through life struggling. You don't have to go through life discouraged. I'm telling you, you can know that you have full assurance of faith in Jesus Christ and that you're on your way to heaven. So it's possible for the believer to possess full assurance. Number two, we learned this. We learned that the sacrifice of Jesus settled the sin debt once and for all. Once and for all. Now, again, look back at your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and I just love this, the Bible says, and every priest, this is talking about Old Testament days, and every priest standeth, look at what it says here, daily ministering and offering, look at the next word, oftentimes. And so this was a daily occurrence. They were offering sacrifices. Oftentimes, the Bible says, the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But look at verse 12. The Bible says, but this man, come on now, church, amen. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, you know what that's talking about? That's talking about absolute completion. The Lord Jesus Christ came to complete a mission, and he completed that mission. He purchased our redemption. He made one sacrifice. By the way, it wasn't the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. It was his own precious precious blood that he sacrificed and applied on the mercy seat. And thank God, the Bible says after that, he sat down once forever. And boy, I'm so glad that, you know what, we have a debt, but our debt can be paid. And so the sacrifice of Jesus settled the sin debt once and for all. But just for a little bit today, I want to really focus in depth on verse number 26 once again. And we just didn't quite finish that. And I want to go a little further with that today. Verse 26, the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully," notice the words, "for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Now somebody says, "Pastor, what's this talking about?" In this verse, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 is talking about absolute deliberate rejection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's referring to. A willful disregard of truth is what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 is talking about. Now, let me tell you what it's not talking about. It's not speaking of the person who is merely ignorant of the gospel. And by the way, there are many of those even in America. Now, it's worse in other countries, but there are even people in America. You know what? The further you travel west, the less and less churches there are. The less and less Bible preaching churches there are. You know, thank you for praying for us while we were out. I really appreciate that. Most of you know, Sunday night, I couldn't even speak. And I appreciate your prayers this week. And my wife and I, of course, I was out on Wednesday night. Appreciate our staff, by the way, did a fantastic job. And Brother Evan preached a great message, and Miss Savannah did wonderful. But Wednesday night, as we were watching the live stream, and I was just going through Facebook, and you know what? Service after service after service after service, it was constant, and I was just going through Facebook, and it was preacher after preacher after preacher, and a lot of those preachers I know personally. And I told my wife, I said, "You know, honey, it is no wonder that in America we are blessed like we are, because thank God there are still some gospel preaching churches that are still proclaiming the message of Jesus, and no doubt that's why we're so blessed in America. We thank the Lord for that." Well, this is not talking about people that are ignorant of the gospel. This is speaking of deliberate defiance of revealed truth. Now, follow me. Bible study time. Follow me closely. And so, the writer here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, so you and I fully understand what he's talking about here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. The writer of Hebrews gives us an example of what's being taught here, an illustration, a picture, if you will. And somebody said a picture is worth 1,000 words, and they really are. And so the writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to try to make sure that we understand what he's talking about, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, he gives us a picture. What are you talking about, preacher? Look, if you will, at Hebrews 10, verse 28. The Bible says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Now, this is talking about an Old Testament story, specifically in Numbers chapter 15. So I want you to hold your place in Hebrews chapter 10, but I want you to turn with me back to Numbers, the book of Numbers, right at the very beginning of your Bible, and Numbers 15, and look at verse number 27. We're going to be brief today. I'm not going to be lengthy at all, but boy, I want you to really, really hear me out today. This verse is talking about absolute, deliberate rejection of the truth. And so the Bible gives us a picture of what he's talking about. Numbers chapter 15, find your place to verse number 27. Numbers 15, verse 27, found your place, say amen. Amen. Here we go, ready? Now I want you to notice very carefully the wordage. Numbers 15, verse 27. "And if any soul," notice the next three words, "sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement," watch these next words, "for the soul that sinneth ignorantly." Look at the next line. "When he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him." Look at verse 29. "Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance." Do you think maybe, just maybe, the Lord is trying to teach us something here? And so the Lord repeats this, and he repeats this, and he repeats this, almost in an effort to make sure that there's no mistaking what he's talking about here. And so he continues to mention that sin of ignorance, sin of ignorance, sin of ignorance. And so verse 29, "Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them." Look at verse 30, watch closely. "But the soul that doeth out, that doeth aught presumptuously, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation. And they put him in ward," that word ward, just like a jail. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. Look at verse 35. "And the Lord said," now this is significant. So Moses and Aaron take this fella. They put him in a holding cell until they wait to see what the Lord says. Verse 35, "And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses." I have a question. Why was the judgment so harsh for this man? We read that passage and we think, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, the guy's just picking up sticks. And he gets stoned to death. I mean, preacher, what in the world is going on? Why in the world did this man receive such harsh judgment? Here's the reason. Because according to the word of God, this man did not sin out of ignorance. Amen. He knew exactly what the law was. Are you listening to me? He knew exactly what the law was. And out of pride and out of defiance, he broke God's law. And so listen, the problem was not the picking up sticks. You say, preacher, I do that all the time. We had windstorms this week. I had to go out and pick up sticks. What's the big deal? Not a big deal to pick up sticks. The problem was this. This man broke an absolute law. He knew what the law was. He knew what God had said. And we find here absolute deliberate disobedience. He purposely and knowingly rejected God's truth. And because of that, he suffered capital punishment. Now, you got that? If you got that, nod your head. You got that? Well, the Bible doesn't stop there. Look back at your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10 again. Go back over there quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us this little story about this man that's gathering sticks. He defies the law, knowingly defies the law, rejects truth. He dies by capital punishment. But we notice that there's a serious admonition in a New Testament context. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 27. "But of certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." We just read that. Look at verse 29. Watch what it says here. "Of how much sorer punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Church, this is what our Bible's teaching us here. It is a serious thing when you hear the gospel truth and you reject it. Are you listening to me? By the way, for that matter, it's a serious thing when you hear truth, period, and you reject it. If you come to Calvary Baptist Church or wherever you may go, and the Spirit of God begins to do work in your life, and he begins to reveal to you, look, the preacher's up there preaching, and the Holy Spirit is saying, that's right, that's right. He's telling it right. He's telling it true. And if you purposely, willfully reject that truth, the Bible says it's a serious, serious thing. Hey, Calvary, listen to this statement. Knowledge creates responsibility. Knowledge creates responsibility. What does that mean, preacher? That means that the people of the Calvary Baptist Church are going to be more accountable
than those that have never heard the truth. Are you listening to me today? We listen, if you attend Calvary Baptist Church, you and I will never be able to stand before God and say, God, I didn't know. You know why? We do know. We have heard the truth. We have heard the gospel. And we'll never stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't know about the blood. I didn't know about redemption, Lord. I didn't know about a salvation. Lord, I didn't know. Never heard that. No, we've heard it time and time and time again. And what our Bible's teaching us is this, that one of these days when we stand before the Lord, if we've heard that truth and we've rejected that truth, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, I want to show you a few more passages this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The person's going to be held seriously accountable because they reject the gospel. Look what our Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. I'm in 2 Peter 2, verse 15 now. And look what it says. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. You know what that implies, church? They knew what the right way was. Amen. But they purposely, willfully forsook it. The Bible says, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, skip down to verse 18. Wow, look at these words. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Watch closely, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Look at verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know what this is talking about? This is not talking about people that are saved and have lost their salvation. This is talking about those that have heard the gospel. They've heard what Jesus did. They know they're sinners. They know that Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary. They know that he shed his blood for them. They've heard it. They've heard the truth. They've heard it. The unadulterated truth. They've heard it. And yet they willfully turn away from it. They reject the truth. And the Bible says, listen, it would have been better for them had they never heard the truth than to hear the truth and then turn away from it. Now, what's God saying? God is saying, I'm going to hold them more accountable because they have heard the truth than I ever would those who have not heard the truth. Now, when I started studying this out, you know what I figured out? The Holy Spirit has a lot to say on this topic. In fact, our Bible talks about it, talks about it, talks about it, talks about it. And so I want to draw your attention to a few other places. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and look at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 20. And I'll not be, you know, I don't want to go overboard, but there's so much. I've got scriptures in this outline. I'll never probably preach to you this morning, but there are numerous places that teach this about willfully rejecting the truth. Matthew 11, verse 20. Now, this is our Lord. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Look, watch this now. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, church, that's saying something right there. That is saying something. What our Bible's teaching us is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ placed a curse upon these cities. The town of Bethsaida, the town of Capernaum. Now, listen, thank you for being such a blessing to my wife and I. But in 2019, we had the opportunity to visit these places. And we went right by Bethsaida. And by the way, it's nestled up in the hills of Israel. It overlooks Israel. It's a beautiful spot. Man, it'd be a beautiful place to have a city. And yet, when you go by Bethsaida, it's nothing but just broken down ruins is all it is. Nobody lives there. It's just broken down. The same thing with Capernaum. Capernaum is a town that's nestled right on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful spots. It'd be a beautiful place to have a town. And yet, Capernaum is just nothing there. Just ruins is all that it is. You say, preacher, why is that? And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said, hey, Bethsaida, hey, Capernaum, I did some of my greatest works in you. I did some of my greatest miracles in you. You know the truth. You knew the truth. You heard the truth. You even saw the truth, and yet you rejected the truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, because you heard it and yet you rejected it, you're going to be cursed. That's what he said. Hey, I want you to turn over, if you will, to Matthew. You're in Matthew already. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And look, if you will, at verse number 21. A willful rejection of the truth. Don't forget what we said. Knowledge creates responsibility. Knowledge creates responsibility. By the way, you know what I believe? I believe God's a God of providence. And I believe if you're sitting in this room today, it's not by accident. There's a God of providence that helped you to be here today. And by the way, God knew what I was going to preach. And God, the God of gods, calls you to be here because God cares for you. God cares for your soul. He cares for your life. And God wants you to be exposed to truth. Well, look what our Bible says in Matthew 26 about a Bible character by the name of Judas. Judas. Matthew 26, verse number 21. The Bible says, and as they did eat, he, the Lord Jesus, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. Now, we know, according to the scripture, that the Lord Jesus was referring to Judas here. Look what he says, verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Look at this last line, church. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. God is saying that about Judas. It would have been good had that man not been born. You say, preacher, what's the correlation? This is what our Bible's telling us. Judas, you didn't just hear about Jesus. You walked with him. You lived with him. You ate with him. You seen his miracles. You heard his teaching with your very own ears. You touched him. I mean, you touched the Savior. You heard his truth. You heard his preaching. You heard his teaching. You saw him heal blinded eyes, and you saw the cripples throw their crutches away, and you saw the lepers cleansed, and Judas, you saw these things. You lived with the truth, and yet you rejected it. You willfully rejected it. And the Bible says about Judas, it had been better had he not been born. Whew. That's pretty serious stuff right there. By the way, church, can I remind you of something? I'm not making this up. Now, you know, you're not going to hear that preaching very much anymore. But maybe we need to hear it more. Yes, sir. In America. Amen. What's our Bible teaching us? There's going to be great damnation for those who hear the truth but make the decision to reject it. Let me give you a couple stories and we're done. This is actual. I'm giving you reality here. 1833. There's a law case on the books. United States versus Wilson. 32 U.S. Article 150 was a case in the United States which the defendant, George Wilson, was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail in the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know what he took, but boy, it must have been something major. But he robbed the U.S. mail in Pennsylvania and was sentenced to death. They convicted him. They put him in prison. But George Wilson had some friends who knew the president, and at that time it was Andrew Jackson. And they appealed for George Wilson, and they said, listen, President Jackson, would you pardon him? I mean, I understand what he did, but would you pardon him? And Andrew Jackson, the president of the United States, 1833, pardoned Mr. George Wilson. But listen to this. Wilson refused the pardon. And so the Supreme Court was brought into this case. The Supreme Court said the decision was that if a prisoner does not accept the pardon, it is not in effect. And this is what they said, and I quote, a pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, and if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon him. And George Wilson was hanged by his neck until dead. Now, your point, preacher, my point, this man had a pardon. This man could have lived. Are y'all following me? I mean, this man had a presidential pardon. He could have gotten out of prison. He could have went free. And yet, because of his pride, because of his anger, because of his bitterness, he refused to receive that pardon. And a man that was fully pardoned ended up dying by the hangman's noose. Now listen, church, did you know there are people all over North Carolina? And by the way, boy, if anybody's heard it, North Carolinians have heard it. I'm telling you. There's a church on every corner, and they've heard the gospel. It's on the radio. It's on the television. It's on the internet. And if anybody doesn't have an excuse, North Carolinians don't have an excuse. And we've heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel. And there's a few of you here. You've been in here numerous times. And by the way, I'm glad you're here. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. But you've heard the message and heard the message and heard the message and heard the message. And yet you've never responded. And I don't know what it is that's holding you back. But I'm just telling you this, that if you're here this morning and you've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, one of these days there's coming a judgment day. And God says to you, listen, it had been better for you had you not been born than to walk into this church and hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and reject it. Amen. Reject it. Willful, deliberate sin. Guys, put that first picture up there if you will. Let me tell you a little story and I'll explain what this picture is. I read the story of a young man who was constantly rebelling against his dad. Literally just destroying his own life. His dad loved him. Came to him, pleaded with him, son, please, get right, do right. You don't have to live a life like this. Come on, do right, do right. And yet that boy continued to go down that road of rebellion and just defying everything that was right. One day that dad said, son, he said, I want to show you what you're doing. You don't even see this, but he said, I want to show you what you're doing to your life. And so he went out front in their front yard and he put a post in the front yard. And he said, every time you rebel from now on, every time you rebel, I'm going to nail a nail in the post. When he said that, that young man, in defiance, that young man said, yeah, and let me tell you something else. It's going to be full. It's going to be full. And sure enough, it was. Every time that young man rebelled, dad would go out there in that post and he'd nail a nail in that post. Every time that young man would do wrong, dad would nail a nail. Just trying to teach that boy, this is what you're doing to your life. Hey, son, this is what you're doing. And he'd nail a nail in that post. And then he said this, son, but I want to tell you something else. He said, every time you turn around and do right, I'm going to pull a nail out. Well, sure enough, that young man continued to rebel. And you know what? It began to take a toll on his life. And his life literally began to go down and down and down. Not only that, but he just devastated his mom and dad, broke their hearts. And after a little while, that young man repented. And he began to do right. And he came to his dad and he said, Dad, I repent. Lord, Dad, I'm sorry. And he began to listen to his dad. And every time he did that, his dad would pull a nail out. Pull a nail out. Put that other picture up there, if you will. And finally, the day came. And the dad pulled that last nail out. And when he did, the young man began to weep. But not weeping of gladness. He began to weep. And the dad said, "Son, why are you weeping?" And he looked at that post and he said, "Dad, I got rid of the nails, but I didn't get rid of the holes." I didn't get rid of the holes. You know what? Absolute willful defiance, rejection of the truth. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your heads with us this morning? Father, we love you. And Lord, thank you for this time we've had together. God, I know this is different than what I normally preach, but I believe this is what you had for us. God, we've heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth. God, we are without excuse. Lord, maybe there's somebody here in this building this morning. And Lord, they've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. Maybe somebody watching by way of live stream. And God, they've heard the truth many times and yet they continue to hold out. They continue, Heavenly Father, too. Defy, to rebel, to procrastinate, to say one of these days, but not today. Not now, Lord, not now. Oh, Father, would you help them to realize the coming of the Lord is close. And Lord, if we've ever been sure of our salvation, we better be sure now. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll work in hearts very, very specifically now. And God, we pray that you would do a work of grace. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask our personal workers to go ahead and tiptoe into the altar if they haven't already. All right, very quiet, please, just for a moment. I wonder how many are here right now and you would say, "Pastor, I've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've heard it." Maybe you grew up in church. I've heard it many, many times. But I've never acted upon it. But I need to. And Pastor, to be quite honest with you, if I died today, I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But I care enough to slip up my hand and let you pray for me. I do care enough to do that. Preacher, if I died, I'm not 100% sure of heaven. Would you at least do this? Would you just pray for me? Would you pray for me? And right now, without anybody looking, you just slip your hand up right now and you'd say, "Pastor, would you remember me? If I died, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Would you pray? Would you remember me?" Is there one like that anywhere here today? Anywhere at all? "Pastor, please remember me. I'm not sure of heaven. I'm just not sure." I want to ask another question. Anybody got any holes? Anybody got any holes left? I got some great news. He's a good hole patcher. Oh, listen, I'll tell you what. He'll forgive you of that sin. He'll restore and repair. He'll put you on the right road again. If you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and you need to come, listen, the altars are open. And we want you to come right now. Would you do us a favor? Would you stand with us all over the house? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, if I died, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven." Listen, I want you to do this. I want you to go one of these nearest aisles. And I want you to come. And we have some folks up here in the altar with a Bible in their hand. And we're not going to make you give a speech. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. But we would like to take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven when you die, okay? And so if that's you, and you may be here this morning, you say, "Preacher, everybody in this church thinks I'm saved, but I know the Lord's been dealing with me." Hey, listen, I want you to come. I want you to come. Don't you stay in your place. Don't you stay in your place. Folks are moving. How about you? When folks are moving, that's a good time to move. That's amen. Personal workers, y'all be ready. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for being so wonderful to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a Bible that's true. And thank you for a word that tells us like it is. God, thank you for exposing us to truth. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us understand that knowledge creates responsibility and accountability. God, we're accountable for what we've heard today. Lord, we're thankful that Jesus came and bled and suffered and died. Lord, that our sins might be forgiven and paid for. Lord, that we might have a home in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that he died, but yet 3 days later he came out of the grave. And he's a risen Savior. And he did all of that to redeem us, to save us. Lord, that our name could be written down in heaven. So right now, Holy Spirit, would you please work in hearts? I pray that you would do it. Help us to be yielded. God, those that have holes in the board, oh God, I pray they'll come and find their way around an altar. And God, I pray that you'd begin to mend those holes right now. You can do that. So Lord, have that way, please. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody else? Oh, I'm glad there's help. There's help at Calvary. The old preachers used to say it like this, just let go and let God have his way. Man, that's great advice. Just let go and let God. You're here this morning, maybe there's something you're holding on to. Hey, would you let the Lord pull one of those nails out today? Would you come while we wait? Maybe there's someone here this morning, preacher, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. I know that I'm saved, but I need to rededicate my life to Christ. Then you come. Preacher, we're not the member of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We feel God leading us to join Calvary. Hey, if you'll come, we'd be glad to speak with you about that. Pastor, I've been saved, but I have never followed in believer's baptism, but I really need to. Hey, if you'll come, we'll pray with you about that. While we wait, while folks are getting help on the altars, would you just join us in prayer right now and pray? And then if you need to come, come on, come on. We've got folks here ready to receive you. I just don't believe God. There's no accidents with God. Typically on Sunday night, you can look up here just for a minute. Typically on Sunday night, I'm already praying for the week ahead. Lord, thank you for the truths that you shared with me that I was able to share with your people. Lord, would you guide me in truth this coming week? Would you show me what your people need? And so I'm usually by Sunday night, I'm already praying for the next few days. Lord, show me truth. God, teach me your word. Lord, show me what you want. And I want to be honest with you, I sort of shied away, you know, and I heard we had visitors come today, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to preach that. Can I not, let's preach something where we shout, you know? Let's preach something where people wave their hands and say, glory. That's really, you know, and the Lord knows my heart. I'm telling you the truth. I really didn't want to preach this message this morning. But I don't believe God's a God of accidents. I believe God knows. And I believe God had, I'm not a prophet, I'm just a pastor. But I believe God had this under-shepherd preach this message for a reason. And if you're here this morning and you're just on the edge, you're just on the edge. Pastor, I need to make a move. I want you to come. I want you to come. So, Father, thank you for what you're already doing. I pray that you'll continue to work right now. Lord, maybe there are others who need to make a move. If that be the case, I pray that they'll come. Give them courage. God, give them courage right now. Give them faith. And I pray they'll step out and come and let us help them from God's word. God, help nobody to leave this place not knowing for sure that they're on their way to heaven. God, help us never to willfully reject the truth. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're watching live stream today, we're so honored to have you tuning in. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. There's a number on the bottom of your screen right now, 704-327-5662. And we have some people that are waiting right beside the phone, and they would love to receive your call. If you'll call that number right now, we would love to pray with you over the phone. And especially if you need Jesus, would you call? Would you call right now? We hope you'll do that. You can look up here. We're going to sing this little chorus. We haven't sang it in a little while. And it just simply says, Jesus, use me. And we still have folks in the altars. And so if you need to come, you know, listen, friend, it could be God's extending this invitation for you. So please understand that. We're going to sing this little chorus. If you need to come, just step out and come. We'll meet you here, greet you here, and we'd love to pray with you today. All right? Let's sing it as a congregation. Sing it together. Ready? Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Sing it out, Calvary. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Let's sing it again. Sing it with me. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.